1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. How should we listen to these words?
Very, very carefully.
Why? First Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 16. Let us be very careful how we hear these words, for they are the words of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So what kind of wisdom do we have in the church? And what kind of wisdom was the Apostle Paul speaking? What kind of wisdom are pastors and teachers, preachers, elders supposed to speak in the church? We have four things that tell us what kind of wisdom. First is a negative, not the wisdom of, look at verse 6. Right, not the wisdom of this age, not the wisdom of the rulers of this age. Not the wisdom that is coming to, what, end of verse 6?
Nothing.
Not the wisdom that is coming to nothing, okay? So there is something that looks like wisdom, that is the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of this age, the wisdom of those who seem to be leaders in this age, but it's coming to nothing. So the first thing about the wisdom that we must be taught in the churches, the pastors and elders must preach and teach, shepherd, according to, is that it is an eternal wisdom, not a wisdom of this age, but the wisdom of all the ages, the wisdom that is everlasting wisdom. Why? Whose wisdom is that, Ezekiel? Not the wisdom of the world. Where do we get real wisdom? From whom do we get real wisdom, Ezekiel? Victoria, from whom does real wisdom come? You can see it at the beginning of verse 7. of God. We speak the wisdom of God. So that's the first thing. Not the wisdom of this age, but the wisdom of God. Second thing is, it is a wisdom that is focused especially on the Lord who, Ezekiel? It's focused especially on the Lord. You want to help him, John?
God.
The Lord God, but in particular, Beatrice? The Lord of glory. When it talks about crucifying the Lord of glory, we're talking especially about Jesus, right? Okay, so first, it's not the wisdom of this world, it's the wisdom of God. Second, it's wisdom that is focused especially on Jesus. So he describes this wisdom that is the wisdom of God, verse 7, a mystery, a hidden wisdom of God. In the New Testament, of course, a mystery is not something that is still hidden. The word mystery is used for something that was hidden but has now been revealed. Okay, and we see that in our passage, because it talks about this mystery, verse 7, and it's that mystery that verse 10 says, God has revealed it to us. Okay, so what is this mystery that was hidden but has been revealed? Well, it is that Jesus, the Lord of glory, would die for his people. The hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. How do we come to glory? By Jesus Christ dying for our sins, saving us, bringing us to glory. So the first, it's not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. Second, it's a wisdom that focuses especially on whom? The Lord Jesus. Third, it's a wisdom that has to be learned from the Bible, or from the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, by means of the Bible. Okay? If the rulers of this age knew that wisdom, verse 8 says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they really knew, really had a grasp of the fact that God the Son is a Christ who is coming into the world to die for the sins of his people, they would have wanted no part in the execution of Jesus. They refused what they inherently knew, and that is that Jesus was God in the flesh. They refused to acknowledge that, refused to know that. Now, this is something that could not have been known in any other way except by the Holy Spirit giving words. Okay? So, as they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen. So, what was one way that they could not have gotten this wisdom from God? Through their eyes. Nor ear heard. What is another way they could not have gotten this wisdom from God? Through their ears. Nor have entered into the heart of man. What is another way that they could not have gotten this wisdom from God? Through their hearts. Okay? So not through their ears, eyes, sorry, not through their ears, not through their hearts. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love them, but God has revealed them through his Spirit. Okay? So not our eyes, not our ears, not our hearts, but through whose what? Through God's what? Spirit. Okay? So you don't get the wisdom from God by what you see and hear, what the philosophers call empiricism. You don't get wisdom from God out of our own hearts, whether that's rationalism or emotionalism or experientialism. A lot of people think what they really, really need is to get a certain kind of feeling or to tune in a kind of message in their hearts or in their heads. The Lord hasn't left us at the mercy of something so unreliable. Girls especially, who find their emotions often out of whack. Thank God that we don't learn and have access to Him by means of our feelings. And our thoughts are so messed up. Those of you who have studied, for instance, the history of science, and how we used to think one thing, we found out that was completely wrong, and then we used to think something else, and we found that was completely wrong, and on it goes. No, God has not left us to get His wisdom by our eyes or ears or hearts, but by His Spirit. And He says, He makes that point, the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. No one knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Some of you have felt that as something that was hurtful or difficult for you. Nobody really knows you. Nobody really knows how you're thinking and what you're feeling because your own spirit is so hard to access. Well, if no one even knows the spirit of man except the spirit that is within him, what about the spirit of God? The things of God, except the spirit who is from God. But he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Again, the things that God has given us in Jesus, that Jesus has died for. And how does the Spirit give us this wisdom? Verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So what does the Holy Spirit use to teach us the wisdom of God? Look at the first half so far of verse 13. Not words, which man's wisdom teaches, but and the word words is implied, but words which the Holy Spirit teaches. That's what the construction there means, right? So the Holy Spirit uses what to teach us? He uses
words.
The scripture. Okay? The Word of God is, all scripture is breathed out by God. No word, no prophecy of scripture ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is wisdom that is, first of all, not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. Second of all, wisdom that is focused on, centered on, has at its heart the Lord of glory crucified for us. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, crucified for us. Third of all, wisdom that comes only by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who uses what? The Bible. The Word of God. This is why, dear children, we keep saying, you know, read your Bibles. Pay attention to the scriptures during family worship. Pay attention to the scriptures during public worship. We want you to know God. We want you to know the Lord Jesus. We want you to trust in and rejoice in Him, the Lord of glory, who is crucified for you. We want you to follow in your life, not the best ideas of a bunch of clever men, but the perfect ideas, the perfect wisdom of the living God as taught by His Holy Spirit. Okay, so, first of all, not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of
God.
Second of all, wisdom that focuses on whom?
Jesus
Christ, and especially what that happened to Jesus Christ. His crucifixion. Third of all, wisdom that comes not through our eyes, our ears, or our hearts, but through God's Word, or God's Spirit, by God's Word. Exactly right. And finally, wisdom that can only come to those who have God's Spirit. Okay, so it's Holy Spirit words, but you can't, not everyone in the world can get wisdom from Holy Spirit words. That's what the last part of our passage is telling us, right? These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. And then the New King James says comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but literally it says spiritual with spiritual. And it's not just comparing spiritual things with spiritual, it's spiritual things for spiritual. Because verse 14 goes on to say, but the natural man, okay, the man as he is, the non-changed man, the untreated man, non-transformed man, natural man. You know, some people really into natural foods. They say they don't want the food that has been transformed or changed or chemically treated or all of these things. Well, fine, all good and well. But you very, very, very much don't want to be a natural man. Because the way you came into this world was not just sick in transgression, it was dead in transgression. And it says here, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. So Holy Spirit words are for Holy Spirit changed people. You need the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart to make you alive so that you can understand the Bible, so that you can want to understand the Bible, so that you can know Jesus Christ, so that you can know Him crucified, so that you can respond to Him from your heart with your life. Dear children, Ezekiel, hi, Habibi, everyone, if you find parts of the Bible that are hard to understand, you can ask God the Holy Spirit, who is not just the one who wrote those words, but also the one who makes you able to know those words. God the Holy Spirit, Lord Holy Spirit, help me to understand them. But if you find yourself to be one who always finds the Bible hard, always finds the Bible boring, don't even really care to listen. You just pay attention because you love your mommy and daddy and you want to please them, and you know it's something you should do, and we're trying to help you have good habits, but you don't find that the Bible is something that you love and that you're eager for and that you're starting to understand and appreciate. You can ask God the Holy Spirit to help you. It's not surprising. Don't ever be surprised when the Bible is difficult, whether it's difficult to understand, or it's difficult to accept, or difficult to follow even after you accept it. Because we know from the teaching here that all these things that are the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And also, don't be surprised when an entire world of people who don't have the Holy Spirit say, that Bible stuff is stupid. That Bible stuff doesn't make sense. Creation in 6 days doesn't make sense. Worldwide flood doesn't make sense. You know what else they say? They say a so-called God who becomes a man doesn't make sense. And a God-man dying to suffer the punishment that other people's sins deserve doesn't make sense. And rising again from the dead doesn't make sense. None of the things of God's wonderful word, through which the Holy Spirit gives us the very wisdom of God, none of those things make sense to a world full of people who don't have the Holy Spirit. He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Don't be shocked or lose confidence in the Word of God because the rest of the world has difficulty accepting it. If you love your neighbor, if you love your enemy, you're going to be telling people the truth of the Bible. And unless they have the Holy Spirit, they are not going to be able to accept it or even understand it well enough. So when they don't accept it, when they don't understand it, when they tell you that's foolish, don't think, oh, I thought I explained it pretty good, and they said it was foolish, and they had all these arguments against it. Maybe the Bible is wrong. Of course not. Spiritual man is rightly judged by no one. You shouldn't be surprised when that happens, because the Holy Spirit words are really only useful to, profitable to, what kind of people? Christians, Holy Spirit people, right? Okay, so those four things, this portion of God's Word teaches us about the wisdom of God, the wisdom that we are to hear taught and preached in our families, in our churches, especially by pastors and elders. First, not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. Second, wisdom that has at its core, has as its center what? The Lord of glory crucified, Jesus Christ, and his death for sinners. Third, a wisdom that comes only by the Holy Spirit through the words of God. And fourth, a wisdom that is only profitable to, only accessible to, people in whom the Holy Spirit has done work to make them alive, to resurrect them, so that they can understand and hear and respond. Let's pray that the Lord would use this portion of his word in us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what we have just been learning and understanding about you. We confess that we have not understood as well as we could, and we need more of your working in us. We pray for the youngest in our family and those whom we have so far been unable to observe as much of your work as we would like. And I pray for any of my children who, as they have sat here and listened, they have wished that they could trust in Christ better and understand the Bible more and better, that you, Holy Spirit, would be doing that work in them, that you would help them respond even to this portion of your word by coming to you in prayer and asking you for your help themselves. We thank you for protecting us against being embarrassed or even having our confidence in you shaken by what the world says. Thank you for reminding us the poor unbeliever who dwells in darkness and has not been made alive by your work, that of course your wisdom, Holy Spirit, is foolishness to him. And so help us not to permit ourselves to be judged by them. Thank you for giving us your word so that we have a perfect standard by which we may judge everything that we hear. And we pray that you would grow us in our understanding of each of the parts of your word. We ask that you would help us to put it into practice in our lives as well. Please help us in the rest of this morning and the things that you have given us to do, that we might do them, thinking about responding to the fact that you have made us and we exist for your glory, and that you have redeemed us by the blood of Jesus. In his name we ask you, and your children here say,
Amen.
Amen.